Hi, I'm Philip Hong. Welcome to the Best of Hubble and Fred Friday, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strainprint, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network. We've got great highlights from the week, but first, a classic interview from 2016. Here's the classic Jeremy Hotz on the Best of Hubble and Fred.
Making his, I guess our new studio now is not so new, a couple years old, for the first time in the international headquarters of the show. Freddie, it's Jeremy Hotz.
Jeremy Hotz.
Yes.
I thought the interns, ooh, Jeremy's coming.
Yeah. How about that, huh? Yep. I like that, how many sleeps until. I really like that.
I knew you would.
Yeah, like there's nothing going on in their lives until the show.
Well, these two, it's funny, our interns are in their early 20s, and I asked them a couple minutes ago, I said, are you excited that Mr. Hotz is coming in? They go, oh, yeah, I still remember watching him on JFL, and then he has his hand next to his face. I'm like, oh, innovator. So
I'm a genius. I'm a legend.
You
so
are
there
a legend.
You go, buddy. It tortures you to madness.
Oh yeah, so I was tortured to madness long before this happened.
The great thing is we're old and we're still around, me and you. They didn't get rid of us.
Well, I heard
Jeremy tried.
The other day on Todd Shapiro, and I thought to myself, not only two things. Jeremy is so funny. I've always I've always been a big fan and his buddy. Yeah. But I thought, you know, the second thing I thought is Jeremy's right. His comedy has lasted because very few people have your point of view and your, and I don't mean to get too serious, but your take, your point of view. And I was listening to him talk. I'm like, that's it. After all these years, he still is funny and relevant. It was a word I heard use.
I didn't use it.
Yes,
they did. They keep saying it to me.
You used it.
Because they're saying
you
it to me.
You touched it inappropriately.
I did not, Glassy. This is ridiculous. You're just attacking me. There's no reason. I remember when you did stand-up.
I know you
remember
did.
When you briefly did stand-up in the 50s?
In the 50s.
I remember.
When you and I started off together
we started off
Martin and Lewis.
Wasn't even in color back then. It was in black and white, and we were doing stand-up. Remember? Yes.
It's like, oh, and the stories you've told about Howard in his underwear and all
puking. I've seen him drunk in his underpants. There it is.
And Jeremy and I, we were thrown together on a Western tour. We're like, hey, you're a whiny Jew. No, you're a whiny Jew.
That's what they did. We tried to out-whiny Jew each other.
It's the Whiny Jew Tour 1958. Come on, troops, cheer up.
Kids today have no idea. Never the old back. Bastards. It's great. We did really well.
Well,
man,
you did well. I got out of stand up, and I was always a big fan of your stuff. You used to make me laugh a lot. You know, the funny thing about Jeremy's act is I used to like it on stage, but he always made me laugh a lot off stage. And then when I finally saw you at some point after a few years, where you became the guy off stage on stage.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's not an act.
It's not. Yes, it's not a.
It's not an act at all. That's why I think they keep coming. I think my fans know it's genuine. You know what I mean? Like, I talk about stuff that happened to me that day. I do it. And then I trust that they're going to laugh when I'm out there. I don't really, you know.
But you're going across Canada. Somewhere I have some information. Doesn't matter. You go to Jeremy Hotz. Ha, ha, ha. What is the website for?
For tickets?
Yeah.
HaHaHa.com/ Jeremy Hotz.
You have no Caesar?
Slash. Well, I don't. I was trying to think if it's a forward or a backslash, but I don't know what it is. Whatever the one they use. Whatever the one they use on the internet. See the way I said it? There you go, buddy.
You say you talk about stuff that happened that day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how much of your act would that be?
My half.
And how do you prepare
my
for
half?
It?
You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I trust myself. But that's what we're doing. Let me tell you what we're doing this time. This has never been done before. This is innovative, man.
Okay. Could you do me one quick favor and just
sort
of speak into the Mike.
I'm sorry, man.
All right, do it.
I didn't know you had the cheap ones.
Don't worry.
Okay, this is what we're doing, all right?
Okay.
This is what we're doing.
Jeremy Hotz Tour 2016.
Yeah, this is what we're doing because I don't do the same stuff in different cities, right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have points that I'm going to hit. I always do that. But in between, I make up a lot of it. So it's different, right?
Yeah.
So here's what we're doing this time. We're taping the shows, right? So the people can get a download link. They buy a link, you know, essentially. They can download the show they just heard and one of the others or two of the others or three of the others, so you can hear the different stuff that I do in the different theaters.
And so wait a second, I pay, let's say I wouldn't, but a person would.
Yes. Yes.
A human would pay to see you.
Yes.
Say in Toronto, Massey Hall.
Yes.
February 11th.
Yes.
They get to go to a place They download that show for a price.
Yeah.
On top of what they already paid.
Yes, of course.
So you're double banging.
No, that's not what I'm doing. No, I'm giving them access to different shows.
Is a new concept. I heard Weezer's doing this too. The band Weezer's doing the what? Sort of the
They're
same
doing concept. Jeremy Hot's material.
No, you buy into the whole concept, right?
Right. You buy into the concept. Something that you don't understand, tiny business boy.
I understood right away. You're double banging for a show.
Don't say double banging.
You're double banging everybody at the show.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. Hey, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's brilliant.
What it is? Don't call it double. It's a very personal thing is what it is. Okay? You know what? You don't understand the
whole... No, I don't.
You don't understand the Jeremy Hotz experience.
No, who can other than Jeremy Hotz?
It's filthy family entertainment.
So you go to the Jeremy Hotz show, you pay a nice price. I don't know what it is, 40, 50, 60 bucks. You know, it's worth it. And then at the end, Jeremy says, no, that's not enough. I need to double bang you.
That's exactly how I sell it. Thanks a lot. Boy, you really know how to push merchandise.
That's
good
right.
Lord.
By the way, I'll be in the lobby double banging everyone on the way out.
Double banging. You just keep saying it because it's a dream of yours.
No kidding. To double bang you.
Yes, you want to double bang me in your white, they were white underpants.
19 years.
When he was drunk. They were white and they had a little pee stain. Yes! Yes, they did. Yes, they did. You were wearing, you know what? They were more diapers than underwear.
Really?
That's what he was wearing.
So
they were,
the old style tighty whiteys.
The whitey ones.
Boxer diapers.
Yeah. They were disgusting.
For you people who don't know, I was drunk. He was the first person I ever knew that had a video camera. It was the size of a smart car.
It was huge.
But it was cool and at the time.
I came back from the show. We weren't working together that night, but I was standing in his house. I was hammered, and he heard me banging into the garbage cans up in front of his house. He comes out with the smart car camera, and he... videotapes. Okay, now you're up to speed.
So I comes in, immediately starts stripping down. I don't turn the camera off.
Yeah. He seems embarrassed.
I'm not. I just, you know, we need to move on.
I want to go back
to double banging
the audience
across canning. So I heard something the other day on Todd's show about Jeremy that I was sort of, it was interesting to me because I've known Jeremy probably since 1985.
Yeah, when we started together, right, essentially?
You were out east, I was out west. But what struck me is that Jeremy mentioned to Todd that Jeremy's lived in, I'm talking about Jeremy now as though he's not here. Jeremy Hotz has been living in Los Angeles almost 19 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It is a long time. And I wanted to ask you about that because, again, when we were younger, it was like, you know, I moved there briefly, but you've moved there and you talked about living there like that's your home.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're back, what I wanted to ask is when you're back in Canada, Toronto particularly, or Ottawa, where you're from,
right?
Does this feel like, okay, this is where I grew up and now LA's my home?
Yeah. Yeah, get that.
Like, that's a comfort for you. You have your house, as you said. You've got your house with the new dog.
Yeah, everything is, my friends are there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, and this has changed a lot, especially Toronto. I mean, like, I get lost here now because the buildings are completely different. You know that, right?
Sure,
it's insane.
Even in the time Fred and I have worked together.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, the downtown of Toronto, like, from 1989 to here is way different.
So yeah. Was that the crack guy that did that? What was his name again?
Oh,
Ford,
no.
the guy. Yeah, Ford was Ford the guy that made it go like this. And with
it was before him.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's been a couple of generations.
Oh, okay. So I've been swearing about him.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, trying to figure out things downtown. I've been swearing at Ford.
Crack on every corner.
Yeah,
crack in every basket.
No, I would say things. I would think like you'd have to be on crack
to do this.
To Toronto, yeah.
It's funny some people come into the city and go, isn't this beautiful? It's so vibrant and new, and other people hate it.
Well, because nobody looks at anybody that walking down the street.
The master of misery. Les Miserables Tour 2016.
International man of misery.
I love
it's
that.
Very clever.
He's really... So don't talk about Los Angeles, though. You say your friends are there.
Yeah.
The last time we talked on the phone was 6 months or so, I think.
Yeah, we talked on the phone.
After your father passed away.
Yeah, my dad died.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And I talked to you about it, and we were talking about your touring habits, and you were saying, you know, I go across the country, I do a thing. Mm-hmm. Do you any work in the States away from these bigger tours that you're doing?
Yeah, of course.
Like, where will you be typically most months of the year?
In Los Angeles.
Doing stand-up or
doing
showcases?
Stand-up, yeah.
Or?
Well, okay, there's only four real clubs in L.A., like the four main clubs in the L.A. and surrounding area. That would be the Laugh Factory, that would be the Improv, Hollywood Laugh Laugh Factory, Hollywood Improv, World Famous Comedy Store, Comedy and Magic Club.
Right.
Those four clubs I play.
But you play them, but to work out material or just to keep fresh or?
Yeah, both.
But where, when you're, both. when will you do the 2,000 seat stuff in the States, or do you?
Not as much, no. I do. I am taping a DVD there, though, next time. It'll be the first DVD that I do in America.
And who will run that? Like a Netflix or hopefully something like that?
Well, we're going to produce it, and then we'll sell it.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen there.
And then
people will see that, hey, wait a minute, he does, you know, he works the same to Americans that he does to Canadians, so it doesn't matter.
So most of your money that you make is Canadian money?
Uh-uh.
No?
Uh-uh.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
now. It's a very good thing.
Yeah, well, because it's not worth a lot, really.
No. So, no.
But that's because of oil, I've heard, right?
Yeah. We have
oil or something. No, the oil coming out of Iran is superior oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ours is garbage. Yeah.
Exactly.
So ours comes from dead porcupine.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more to the comedic legend Jeremy Hotz coming up. I'm Philip Hong on the Best of Humble and Fred. First, a couple of very important announcements.
Canada's number one plan for employee benefits, the Chamber's Plan, is Canada's leading group benefit plan for firms with one, say, to 100 employees. 30,000 Canadian businesses now part of this. They've been around for like 40 years, so, you know, it's very stable. Very simple to get involved. Go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. Yeah, it is that simple. It's smart because it's something that your employees will really appreciate. Dental and health insurance and several other products under the umbrella. Go to chamberplan.ca and, yes, get a free quote for your small business. Chamberplan.ca.
I also want to remind everyone that every day is a great day to go to FYI Music News, updated weekly, written for and about Canadians and Canada's music industry. FYIMusicNews.ca. Subscribe to the newsletter. It's a tightly written digest of key events and news of the day. Expanded features including a weekly career section and columns by musician and journalist Bill King. Check it out every day. FYIMusicNews.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
So I call Hotz to commiserate with him about his father, and somehow we get into a conversation like old Jews. So you're doing well.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
That's what we do.
And I said to Hotz something about, well, I don't know, how much money can you make going across Canada? Almost as a joke, and he's like, Glassman or Glassy. Millions. And then I went, okay, let's change the subject because, you know, maybe we're not doing as well. Do you talk about your father in your act?
I will probably this time, yeah.
Yeah, this time? Yeah.
Well, I had a bad year, right? Because I hadn't had any deaths, really. And then it went like this, all right? The bird died, the mm-hmm. dog died, the dad died, all in the same year.
Bird, dog, dad.
Yeah. And the dad thing was weird because I've never had any human being that was as close to me pass away. It was the first time. And I got all the way to 50 before that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually fortunate. Although we did have Alzheimer's.
Is your mother still alive?
But nobody noticed that. What?
What?
That my dad had Alzheimer's because he was always kind of like that.
That's awesome.
When he was younger, where the bloody hell are my bloody keys? He just lost.
I'm sorry. Your dad was from Fawlty Towers?
Yeah, he was English.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Dad was English?
I was born in South Africa, Glassy, remember?
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Glassy, come on. You don't even know the history of your friend?
Is your mother still alive?
Yes, she is.
Does she have a South African accent?
Yes, she does.
Where's your accent?
I don't have one.
Oh, yeah.
We moved when I was one.
Oh, okay.
I said, let's go. I don't agree with this apartheid. And they said the kid's onto something, and we got the hell out of there.
That's right, Hotz. Forget Mandela. It was Hotz. He says in his baby language, this must stop. So, how old was your father when he passed?
My dad was 82.
That's the age. My dad was 84. Your dad was
83. Yeah. Or 83? Yeah. No, 82. Almost 83.
People live longer now. Yeah. You know what it is? The preservatives in food.
That's what, it only stands to reason, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to get as many nitrates as I can.
It keeps your innards fresh. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. That's my new slogan for Schneider's cold cuts. Try the bologna. It keeps your innards fresh.
Have you written some stuff about this? These experiences? I know. And by the way, when Jeremy talked about this bird, it's a great story. I hadn't heard the whole thing, but I knew that you had a bird that just somehow flew into your home.
That's it.
And then you kept it.
Yeah.
For 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happened.
What kind of bird?
It was a dwarf parrot.
Get out.
Yeah, it was like a little
midget parrot.
Little midget parrot.
Do you think it had escaped from some other place?
Yeah, what I did, Fred, was, this is the greatest thing. What I did was I took a picture. It was a bright yellow bird. Mm-hmm. All right, I took a picture of it, and then what I did was I put it up on a telephone pole, and I put found bird, but I put up a black and white picture.
Oh.
And then I put my number down. I said, they go, yeah, that's my bird when they call, because they're kind of expensive, you know what right. I mean? And I go, oh, yeah, man, what color is it? Well, he's green with a little blue click. Didn't even let him finish it. You know what I mean? And then I kept the bird. So what happened to the bird was the bird started chewing on its foot.
5 years, 6 years later.
Yeah, it starts chewing on its foot.
Before the foot, though, in those 5 or 6 years, did the bird like bond with you?
Absolutely.
Because obviously it's an expensive bird. Somebody else owned it, but all of a sudden it's now Jeremy's bird. Did you give it a name? Did it have its own?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It had a name. Monkey Bird.
I'm sorry, the bird was called Monkey Bird.
Yes, he was.
That's cute.
Not monkey, but Monkey Bird.
Monkey Bird.
Okay.
Oh, Monkey Bird.
He's not a monkey. Do you think maybe that's why I started chewing his foot off?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was the beginning. They're not that clever. They have
apparently
a brain the size of your thumb.
Neither are you when it comes to naming birds.
Dude, I'll tell you why I called him Monkey Bird. Okay, because he would hang upside down. He did very different things. He would hang upside down in the cage, upside down like a monkey, and then like crawl around the cage like a monkey.
Eating its foot was the beginning of the end. Like you knew it was something weird. He started chewing on.
Well, first of all, the bird was they're assholes. All right, they're incredible assholes. They're dinosaurs essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So they're violent. So this bird would lovey up to you and land on your shoulder, and then when you weren't paying your attention, bite your. Bite your ear like till it bled, you know what I mean? Yeah. And not let go until you went, get the off me, and like actually hit it off you. It would stay there and hang on your ear like a monkey.
Sounds like a sick, yes, monkey bird.
6 year
dream.
Yeah.
So one day you notice some odd behavior with Monkey Bird.
Yeah, I started chewing on his foot, her foot actually. So it was a girl that laid an egg once. That's how I found that out. Laid an egg. Yeah, just out of nowhere. There's that thing, and I'm like, what the kind of that? And then, oh, that's an egg, for Christ's sakes. So, you know, I took out the egg and I put it away. So it was a female bird.
And I heard the story is crazy. You go to the vet.
Yeah, here it comes.
You go to the bird vet.
The avian vet, they call them.
Doctor, and by the way, is that not just a regular vet or is it a specialist?
Specialist, man.
Specialist.
So chewing on the foot, right? To the point where she always used to chew on the foot, like when you went, hey, monkey bird, how are you? She would get excited and chew on her foot. So I figured, you know, she starts chewing her foot, takes the nail off. Yeah, here's what. Happened. Takes the nail off, takes off the tip of the toe, starts bleeding all over the place. I call the avian vet. They go, oh, geez, bring her in immediately.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, okay, so she's got a foot problem, so they'll fix this. So I bring it in, and then the lady does this, she puts the bird, to sleep, and then she takes an x-ray of the thing, and she looks at the innards of the bird, right, and goes, okay, there's an internal problem here, but I don't know what it is, so what we have to do is, we're going to cut her open, we're going to do, an incision, and then what we're going to do is we're going to see what's in there, and then we're going to do a biopsy of her liver and one of her kidneys.
And now, I'll just give us some reference. Is monkey bird the size of a bottle
hand.
Of water. Okay,
my
so
hand.
Fairly, it's not a tiny thing, but it's not a small
pair.
Okay,
small.
About the size of
a sandwich?
Of a cockatiel.
A cockatiel, right.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So she goes, don't worry about it. I do this all the time. And this is like, the other vets who, her assistants are going, oh, she's renowned. She's world famous.
For opening up birds.
Yeah, I've never heard of the broad bird before. You know what I mean? The lady, I've never heard of this woman. So she goes, don't worry about it. Nothing bad's going to happen. And then we'll send it for the thing. And then we talked about price.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. You know what the price was to
Where
have
this
procedure done?
I heard. You're going to freak out.
It's $5,000. It's $5,000. For a bird that lands on my shoulder and bites my ear, and I'm shelling out $5,000, going, don't die, monkey bird.
Oh, monkey.
Yeah.
Especially
so,
in this
you
year
did
of
shell
death.
It out?
Yeah, I shelled it out.
You love that bird.
I know. I shelled it. I can't. No, you don't understand. animals for me. I can't let them. If I have the money, I can't let them die. That's on me. The guilt would kill me.
This is why. Fred. This is why he's double dipping on these shows he's doing across Canada.
You know what? I'm not. You mean double banging?
At the end of every show, he goes. And remember,
did you have any idea how old this bird was? How much longer it had to live, even if it was healthy?
They live about 25, 27 years.
Right.
And second of all, they felt that the bird, from counting the rings on her feet, I don't know how they. But they thought the bird was about 8.
Oh, so for a millionaire comic, 5 grand's nothing.
Listen, who said I was
a
millionaire?
He's working stuff.
I'm a working guy. No, he's full of shit.
Yeah, obviously.
Glassy.
By the way, that's why they often caution you. I remember when my kids were little, they wanted a bird, and I'm like, if you get one of these parrots, it's a lifelong commitment.
Oh, yeah. People die and then leave the bird to someone else in the will, and then it becomes their problem.
So finish the story. $5,000, and?
Yeah, they cut her open, and I said, how long is this operation? And she said, I can bang this off in about 25 minutes. Don't worry about it.
Holy
crap. Okay, so she does it. She opens the bird. She does the scraping. I'm in Tahoe at the time, warming up for the tour, you know what I mean? Getting acclimated to the weather that's here in Lake Tahoe, essentially.
Good, this smart is move. Recent, right?
Smart move, yeah, recently.
A couple months ago or a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so they cut her open, and they get the biopsy to do everything. They sew her up, and as they're finishing sewing her up, she has a heart attack. And then the lady goes, I have some terrible news for you, blah, blah, blah. The bird died. It rarely happens, but it did happen, and we're all very sorry, and we feel really bad. And then she goes, can we still, you know, to help out other birds, can we still send that biopsy off and learn from that? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, lady, how much is that going to cost me? Yeah. So I was furious.
You know what you should have said, though, and I thought about it.
I called the vet lady.
You should have said, you can do that. I'll sell you her biopsy material for $5,000.
I should have done that, Glassy. I should have done that. I didn't think of
there's
that.
So you paid up front, did you say?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
no, I know. I went through the same thing with a dog. I had to pay up front, give him my credit card. They put $5,000 on it and then work backwards.
Boom.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So you lose monkey bird in the same year that a dog of yours passes away.
Sam the
same
dog.
Year you Stan?
Sam the dog.
Oh, Sam. My dog's name is Stan.
Oh, really?
Normally he's in here.
What kind of dog is he?
Boston Terrier.
Nice.
Supermodel.
Good animal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Show you a picture.
But there was no part of that where she said the thing died, so I'm going to cut you some a deal on the.
Well,
on
you
the
pay. You pay up front.
No,
right?
I know.
And it's LA. You know what?
Isn't
you know
there
what,
a story
Fred?
I killed your dog? Dog bird discount.
There were no certificates on the wall in her. I don't even think she was a vet. I think she stole the smock and just said, "Yeah, I can do this." That's what I think. Happened.
Funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
And meanwhile, she pays someone to go, she's good. She make very good.
I know what I'm doing, though. When I get back to LA after the tour, I'm egging that place.
Oh, yeah. You show them. You show them.
None of this writing a letter. I'm egging it.
Yeah. And your dog, you had dog Sam for a long time.
Sam passed away, but he lived till he was almost 20. That was the dog. He wouldn't die. A beautiful dog. There you go. Look at him. Pig in a blanket.
I know. He's hanging out under the covers. This is in the morning when I take him to work with me. I'm like, come on, Stan. And I put the covers on him. He's just like, Stan, this is so comfortable.
That's great. Yeah, I like
my boy.
But he had a bit of the Alzheimer's at the end. Just
your dog?
Dad. Yeah. He would pace weirdly and just like walk around and pant for no.
Where's my keys?
I don't know.
All right. Well, listen.
But I carried him up and down the stairs at the end for the last, I don't know, year or so. Because
what kind of dog was it again?
He was a Border Collie Dachshund. Beautiful dog. I'll show you a picture.
Who takes care of your animals?
Heart out, doesn't it?
What's that?
It rips your heart out.
Well,
when
the thing
go.
Is, Hotsy just got a. Oh, that's the old one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're beautiful.
Haven't taken them off yet. Can't bring myself to take them off.
Well, and it's funny because I got Stan on the cover, too. There's Stan.
Yeah. Well, sure. Guys like their dogs. Yeah. More than the women in their lives.
Did you ever see the movie Marley?
No. Is it
with Marley and Me?
The dog Marley and Me.
Does the dog die in that?
Yes.
I'll never watch it. I'll never watch that. I can't snatch it.
I went
like
to
that.
The theater.
My dog Skip can off any day now. Ruined my life. Seriously.
I went to see that in the theater with my wife, and I broke down. Like, I was crying, sobbing into the movie.
I told you the story. I went with my buddy Dave, ex-cop. There's him and I, a couple of, I can't think of my kid and a girlfriend, whatever. And when the lights go up, he and I aren't, we're not movie crying. We're sobbing.
I know.
We're weeping.
Yeah. Okay, you know the day that, in America, you know the day that the planes, like, flew into the buildings?
Yes.
Yeah, we've heard of it.
Yeah. So that when they're flying in, the news is on and I'm watching it and they're flying into the buildings, and this is the kind of guy I am. You know what I'm doing while this big terrorist thing's happening? I'm cutting, the plastic that they put six packs in.
Right.
So they don't, like turtles don't get caught in them. That's
really?
I'm doing. Yeah. 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 At the same time. Oh, boom, boom. And I'm like, I'm saving some turtles.
Yeah.
Over
forget,
here.
forget people jumping from towers. God forbid these turtles drown.
All right. This is Humble and Fred.
We've got more highlights from the week. I'm full of Pong, as well as classic highlights. You're listening to the best of Humble and Fred on air and online. The best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah?
It's my 9-year anniversary today.
For what, Howard?
For Facebook.
Hey!
According to Facebook.
Happy Facebook anniversary.
Face-iversary.
Face-iversary. Book-iversary.
Facebook sent me a video.
Anniversary book.
And they said, happy face-iversary, Howard. And then they sent me some highlights of my 9 years on Facebook.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know how they do that.
Oh, they have the... I don't know.
They have all your data.
No, so, and they just grab it. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's amazing that they do, though. And amazing that something that is pervasive in our lives, I speak for myself, but it's in all our lives. I've only been part of it for 9 years. I was at, I guess my... I'm trying to remember, one of the interns at Easy Rock helped me... I remember the day we set up my Facebook... posting or whatever, my Facebook profile.
Right, right.
And it's been an interesting 9 years. Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, the one night that I've early on found out the power of Facebook, not early on, but some years into having Facebook, I didn't realize how important it was in my children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was just something I used at work. And then one night... I was with a lady friend, and we had just finished,
Lady friend.
And we just finished making sweet love to one another.
All right.
And I was in that kind of, you know, afterglow.
Lovey-dovey mood.
And we were just sitting there talking. And at the time, she said, when are you going to change your status on Facebook?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, what? You know, I'm just typical dude. Everything, I feel great. My whole body feels great. And I'm like, sure, let's do it now. And I lean over in bed and I, on my computer, change my Facebook status to in a relationship. And this was only a couple of years after I'd been separated and divorced from their mother.
Mm-hmm.
No sooner had I hit in a relationship than my daughters are texting me. This is like a Thursday night at 11.
Right.
What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Just
oh, they didn't like that. They
didn't like it.
Aw.
They didn't like it.
Well, that was this. That was one of those milestones along the way, I guess.
Yeah.
That they didn't want to reach.
And I
thought of daddy with somebody else.
So there I was. Here's my, imagine this conundrum, because my new love... wants in a public acknowledgement that we're together.
Right.
But my children,
right,
to them, Facebook was a real thing. It
right.
isn't. Ironically enough,
no,
they're not even,
on.
They could
no,
give
no.
a crap.
No.
But it was a very interesting lesson for me, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to take it off, because now I've got a lady friend mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to leave it on, because I've got the girls are freaking out.
Right. You know what I've noticed about Facebook, too, when it comes to all... Any non-media friends I have aren't on Facebook.
Same with me.
It's not even part of their world. Mm-hmm. They don't even know. Like all my Tin Palace, but
grown-ups. All the grown-ups.
None of them. They don't even know what it is. They don't care. They don't want to be part of it. The only males I know are in the media, you know, who understand the importance, whatever, of that social networking. And I often think that's pretty cool for those guys, because how many times over the years you've read something on Facebook, something's happened on Facebook where it's a little unsettling, or be it news or be it a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, most of my buddies, that's totally, it's not even, if you said face, they wouldn't even know how to get to Facebook. You know what I mean? They wouldn't even know the first thing about it. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss, as we've said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have several grown-up man friends that sometimes when we're talking and I'll reference something I saw on Facebook, they're like, yeah, not on it yet. I'm like, really? Now, I mean, sometimes I think that's a little bit, great for you, but I mean... That's like saying you didn't want to turn on this new fangled technology known as TV. You know what I mean? There's 2 billion people. Well, no,
I don't know.
I do. I mean, it's like saying I don't read the newspaper. To me,
maybe some of those guys have seen, because I know a lot of those guys. Their wives are on it. They probably look over the shoulder and think, nope, not interested.
Or maybe they were disillusioned.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But it's. I don't think it's just for somebody.
You know, but TV entertains you. I'm not sure that Facebook does.
I think
does.
For a lot of people, Facebook's entertaining or they wouldn't be on
it. Don't you think it's more informing?
Which is entertaining.
I guess, yeah.
For instance, if you're not on Facebook, how would you know to use the last 3 digits of your phone number to see what you need to be happy?
Well, this is what I mean.
I picked it out. Okay.
And it really has.
What are the last 3 digits of your phone number?
733.
7... Music, 3 $1 million, 3 $1 million.
$2 million in music. Yeah. That's good.
Bill, what's the last 3 digits of your phone number?
068.
06, 6 travel, 8 sleep.
Ta-da!
Johnny, what's the last 3 digits?
131.
1 love, 3 $1 million, 1 love. What is mine? 7410? 4104. 4 mm-hmm. pizza, 1 love, 0 sex.
Sounds good.
Making love to a pizza. Having sex and love with the pizza.
But it's... It's whatever they did to Facebook in recent, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah, all the news headlines, all the political chats.
No, as far
the
as
anger.
Then your... Your news feed has really become a lot narrower than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I find it pretty useless these days. It is. And the overreactionary stuff and the people that read headlines and make some political comments and they have no idea what they're talking about. It really becomes tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there's that. Mm-hmm. And then there's having no awareness of it.
Right.
Like, I have a buddy... It's one thing to go, I've sort of tried it. I don't really keep up on it. But to have zero... I have a buddy that's never been on it. Claims he's never been on it. Even my older brother just joined it fairly recently. I just think you should have a facility with it to some degree. To ignore it seems a bit old-fashioned to me. To be like,
Yeah. Well, probably a lot of those guys have at least... It just does not interest them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my buddy Doug... He's got a Facebook page. He does absolutely nothing with it. About 6-7 years ago, we were in Michigan at a Michigan football game, and he got half cut, and he fell asleep in the bed. I took a picture of him. He actually looks like he's dead. He looks like he's dead in a coffin, right?
Yeah.
So I took a picture of him, and I posted it on his Facebook page, and I think it's still the only thing on his page.
Wait till he gets his 9-year anniversary. Yeah. Just be him looking dead.
Remember
this.
You were
one thing.
Still the only thing he's ever put on there.
Oh, wow.
It's not interesting.
Highlights of the news coming up. Sean's going to tell us a couple of stories. Will Smith will drive Audi's first animated concept car.
Yeah, that's less of a big news story.
Okay, forget that. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about Justin Bieber getting a tattoo on his face. And have we done this story? The scientist stabbed colleague who kept telling him the endings of books he was reading?
We never got to that last week, so may as well.
I saw that story. What about this story out of Dublin? Where this sugar mama from Ghana, she used to bring guys in. From Ghana, sort of as the sugar mom, because she wanted to use them as her sex toys. Ooh. And something went wrong with this guy. This was in Dublin, mm-hmm. but they're from Ghana. So she's there. She has money. She brings in these young men. She's in her 50s. Brings these young men in from Ghana. Uses them as her sex toys. Gets mad at this one. Lops off his penis, his testicles, and his eyelids. And apparently laid them on his chest when the police arrived.
Oh. Was he dead?
Oh, yeah. You don't live without your testicles.
But your eyelids.
I think you bleed out.
Oh, okay. So she cut off all his genitals.
Mm-hmm. And his eyelids.
Yeah. That's cold.
Laid them on his chest. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it's fake news. There's pictures and everything. But even if it is, it's a pretty good fake news story.
Wait a second.
Because you read that story, and immediately every man at the table clenches their sort of, you know, you squeeze your legs.
Are there pictures of eyelids as well?
No, no, they don't have that picture.
Okay.
Of the testicle and the penis and the eyelids laying on his chest. But that,
I mean, you could position
But there's
them.
A picture of her being taken away in a police car with a big smile on her face.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, she's clearly enjoyed herself. But if you think about where you could strategically put the penis, the testicles, and the eyelids to make a face.
No, you could.
On somebody's chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's smiling. Oh, he's true. Got the testicles to be the mouth area. The penis, obviously, the nose. Then you got little eyelids.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Like a human Mr. Potato Head.
Uh-huh. Kinda.
You know, the guy had a hairy chest, he'd have a beard.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. See, Sean, this is the kind of fun people have when they come to visit us.
Exactly.
At Humble and Fred Radio.
Oh, man. He didn't change his Facebook status, that's why he got hacked.
Did we all...
Things in the news.
Things in the news.
Eyelids in the news.
Eyelids in the sun.
This is Humble and Fred.
More from the Best of Humble and Fred Week coming up on the Best of Humble and Fred on air and online. I'm Philip Hong. First, we have a couple of very important announcements.
Use cannabis better.
Yes, those of us that enjoy cannabis.
Lady. use it better with your free strain print companion app. This isn't what I wanted. Oh, this is what I wanted. Why is it doing this? Oh, there we go. It's one of my favorite shows. It's called Weed. Did you ever see it? Yeah.
Little boxes on the hillside.
That's why I'm playing this. The app can be downloaded for free on Apple or Google Play. Strainprint.ca is how you get it. It's like the Fitbit of weed. Basically, you get to learn from others and their cannabis journey. Simply tapping the Explore tab on the app, you can see what strains are providing the highest efficacy for symptom treatment. For example, what strains are most effective for treating headaches, anxiety, or any one of StrainPrint's current list of over 350 symptoms. You can also get the little bonus points at if you just log in, HF Radio. You get 100 extra points. StrainPrint.ca, available everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, and Facebook as well.
Gotta love them.
We found out about the Cannabis Career Network. You know, in this economy... Jobs are, you know, they come and go, eh? Like, let's say you've had a career in another industry and you're looking to be part of this burgeoning cannabis sector. You need the Cannabis Career Network. Go to CannabisCareerNetwork.com. The next event is Wednesday, November 28th. It's a chance to either expose your company to possible employees or go and find a gig. Looking to transition into the legal market, come to the Cannabis Career Fair and learn more. Anyone hiring in the cannabis industry will get results with all their staffing needs in the least painful way by participating at the Cannabis Career Fair. As I mentioned, it's at the Pearson Convention Centre on Steeles Avenue, 28th of November. Find out more about this industry at CannabisCareerNetwork.com.
Hey, we haven't had a good weather bit in a long time. Past several days, for the most part, have been quite dreary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And cold and damp and dark.
Yeah, well, that's November every year for me here. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
What's that?
Oh. Time for Humble and Fred talking about the weather.
Weather alerts.
Yeah, we've been, we took 3 days off. Well, we didn't take 3 days off. That's what our schedule is. And really all we have left to talk about is the weather.
Well, you know, I look at it this way, but I'm a glass half half full
yes.
guy.
I am.
Compared,
I know you are.
Compared to you.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, you're an optimist. I'm a pessimist.
I like it when November arrives because you endure 30 days, mm-hmm. and then you look back and you go, before it's November again, think of all the wonderful and good times we're going to have.
This is why I brought it up.
Spring will come, summer will come, mm-hmm. golfing, yes. tin palace, frolicking with the children.
That's why I come to you, because I need your inversion. What do I need?
An aversion, right?
No,
you need a distraction.
Here's what November is. November is a month that really, other than Remembrance Day, which is special, I'm not taking anything away from it. It's not much else. December, you've got Christmas. January's New Year's and my birthday. February, it can be nice, and then it's beautiful. In my 30 years living here, November has always been like this, sort of gray, windy, showery, and cold, with really not much redeeming value. That's all.
To put a positive spin on it now?
Yes.
You know, most of the summer, I never go in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
Air conditioner's on. It's cool down there. I don't watch a lot of TV in the summer. Especially this summer with the Jays sucking so bad, I really didn't watch any. The thing is, it's nice to, when the furnace is back on, to go down in the basement and watch some sports and movies and the coziness of it.
Cozy up.
But that wears off quickly.
Sure.
But what it does, it helps you get through November because it's sort of a novelty in November.
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice, right? And next thing you know, by the time you're tired of that, you know, November's gone. You're looking forward to the spring. Come on. Be positive.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I watched, you asked me in our very limited conversation before the show. I know people imagine us sitting here gabbing like, you know, old grannies, but we don't. Just asked me what I did. I said, I think I binged watched an entire series, two seasons of this show, Goliath. And I guess they do 8 or 9 episodes. And the episodes are around 45 to 55 minutes a piece. So I watched a lot of that. I did a lot of what you said. I just sort of, although it was nice enough to golf this weekend. It was like 5 or 6 degrees.
Well, to you.
Yeah, I know.
But to most people, no.
But you'd be surprised. I got there yesterday. It was packed.
Oh, I can imagine.
Just packed yesterday. You know, on the subject of binge watching, can we get off the fact that you're super positive for a second?
I've started watching, what's it called again?
The Goliath.
Goliath.
Yeah. You just started watching season one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm about 3 in, but then I had trouble with my Prime. I got to fix it. I don't know.
He's good. Billy Bob Thornton's good in that.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Remember in the olden days when we used to read books?
Yes.
Did you ever read books, Phil?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I mean, I know, but I mean, like, anything that's nonfiction. Did you ever read that?
Oh, yeah, like textbooks and things.
What I used to love about books, like Stephen King or those type of books, Robert Ludlum books, I love the idea that you would be reading for a while, then you would have to put it down, and then while you were away from the book, you might think, oh, I wonder what the characters are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick it up when you start reading again. That's what I find binge-watching like. You know, I might... Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the middle of a story, but, you know, when you're away from it, you're thinking, oh, I wonder where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why binge watching is so attractive to people, because you get caught up in a story.
Oh, without a doubt.
And you get to, I mean, not everyone is lucky like you and I. I mean, I can watch 6 or 7 episodes in a day. Most people can't.
No,
they have jobs and lives.
Well, I think, that's it. I mean, if it pulls you in, you want to keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Because you're wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and it's also while you're away from it, you're thinking, like a character in a novel.
Yeah, like anticipation.
Yes.
Back in the 90s, I guess, we used to go to a lot of all-inclusive resorts, which I have no interest in going to anymore. In fact, the thought makes me shudder. But
well, what's your positive spin on that, mister?
My positive spin is that I don't go spend a week on turning into a lobster and getting fat.
Right.
But anyway, I used to always get a good book to read on the beach, because Dahl and I would actually go down there and get up like at 9 and 10 and literally be on the beach all day long.
No, I know.
Like, and I could no sooner do that now than anything. But I used to get in often Grisham books. And
yeah,
then finally, you know what? Yeah, but they're all the same. You know what I mean? They are. After a while, it's like, wait a minute. Haven't I read this? Oh, no. The name's changed. But anyway, really, that's the way I got with Grisham books.
Yeah, and same with Ludlum books.
Yeah, you got James Patterson, all those things.
I'd get in the middle of one of them and go, oh, I think I read this.
Yeah.
This is about a lawyer?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's about a lawyer. In the South, it's really hot.
It's Memphis, and, yeah. And Julia Roberts, is she in this?
Someone gets arrested?
And again, not to be negative, he's brilliant, and when you first start reading them, that's great. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I was like, ah.
No, I know.
It's but it's funny, then you would read it, you'd get it so into this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my head, here I am on a beach. Beautiful tropical climes, right? All sorts of stuff to do. You get so into this Grisham book, mm-hmm. your head would be down for hours, right? And I mean, part of the fun is reading and relaxing on a holiday, but I'd get so caught up in these books, nothing else was going on around me. And I'm thinking, should I be doing this? Shouldn't I be like playing Frisbee or something?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Something
that's what you should be doing.
Something I could be, like, I couldn't do at home. I could read this book at home.
But there is something about being away and having the time. And whatever that feeling is, though, where you can't wait to get back to a book, it's kind of it's similar to, you know, what we go through now in consuming this entertainment in such chunks. Mm-hmm. It's like yesterday I was golfing, but on the way home I was like, ooh, my book. I get to come back and watch the end of Goliath. Season two of it was different. It took a few episodes to kind of get into the narrative of it, but it's really good. And his character is just sort of, I mean, perfect for him. You know, I heard from a couple people that on my recommend have started watching Norseman,
right,
and have liked it because it's ridiculous. Have you finished it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's the best.
It is really something else. It was one of those ones where. And this is how these things work. It's like, I don't know what to watch. Somebody recommended it to me. And that's what part of the problem is. You just don't know what you should sink your teeth into.
I'm going to give it a shot. I'm a little reluctant. I'm going to give it a shot. I told you on the weekend, same thing. I'm looking for something. And then I saw Arrested Development go by. And I like Jason Bateman. And I like Michael Cera, Brampton's own Michael Cera.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I thought, you know, I never watched this, and it gets rave reviews. I started watching, like, the third episode in. Enough. It was just too much goofiness. I didn't like it. And I was really disappointed, because there's not much that Jason Bateman's in that I don't like.
Did you ever see that movie he did with Jennifer Aniston recently? And called Office... No, it's The Office Party, Christmas Party.
Oh.
It's Jennifer Aniston, Jason right. Bateman... And this comic, TJ, it was only out a couple years ago. I'm surprised you didn't see it. It's really
funny.
I
did. Is that where she
and her brother own the company, and she's sort of the button-down corporate chick, and he's a party dude.
Okay, probably.
But Jason Bateman's in it, and it's got a few funny scenes in it.
But what I was going to say, and then when I turn off Arrested Development, I see the Jason Bateman. I click on it. There's a thing called Game Night. It sucked, too.
Didn't like that?
Oh.
Did you watch it all?
No. I just watched about 45 minutes, and it was like, it's not doing it for me. Why? Was it all right? You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I remember liking it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I mean.
It was a quirky concept.
You and I are the same, but we're different.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Well, 45 minutes in, I'd watch it.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, with Norseman, if I watch it and it's just a little too goofy for me, I
it's pretty goofy.
Well, I probably won't like it then.
Well, but it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you might. It's just, super... It's pretty goofy. But it's not like... I didn't like Arrested Development either. I haven't watched it.
At all?
Gave
it a shot?
I gave it a shot years ago. I mean, it's got a lot of people in it that I like. David Cross, Jason Bateman, mm-hmm. Hank from Larry Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember his name again. Doesn't
Dad,
matter.
Dad.
What's the name of that Jason Bateman movie? Christmas movie.
Office Christmas
Party.
Maybe I haven't seen that.
It's really funny.
Is Jennifer in any state of deliciousness during that?
Yeah, everything she wears. Oh, she has beautiful feet. Beautiful feet and hands, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Took my little woman to see Star is Born yesterday. Enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah, it's okay.
She's...
Rachel loved it.
Well,
loved it.
Dahl, when we left, said, oh, that was a great movie.
No,
and I'm thinking it wasn't great.
Yeah,
but,
I know. I've had these same conversations.
I mean, that woman can sing, and he did a great job because he did all the singing.
Yeah, he did his own singing. He also directed it. And he did a great job doing that.
No, that's what I mean. From that standpoint, I was very impressed. I sat there for the... Yeah, it was a nice movie.
Yeah.
But I could see how women would really love. Am I allowed to say that?
You love it.
Last week I said something about a female teller, and I apparently shouldn't have.
Oh.
Because all women, all tellers aren't women now. I know that. There's men tellers. That
some are robots.
That was my point.
Some are robots.
Some just spit money at you.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
The best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Strain Print, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.
I've been roaming around, I was looking down at all I see.
Hi, I'm Philip Hong, and welcome to the second hour of The Best of Humble and Fred, brought to you by HomegrownKits.ca, Cannabis Career Network, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, Gig Sky, The Retirement Sherpa, The Chambers Plan, and FYI Music News. And in this segment of The Best of Humble and Fred, we have a couple of classic hits. So let's start with Grammar Rules.
Ever since we've all had access to digital keyboards, because, you know, Fred and I are so old that we started off actually typing. I think I learned to type on an electric keyboard at my high school. Were those electric?
Mine was manual.
Maybe they were manual. I don't know, but I'm thinking very soon
maybe
after.
Maybe yours were electric. Mine were manual.
But ever since we've all had access to digital keyboards that will correct you, that will prompt you, will spell check you, whether it's your, you know, laptop or your phone. The thing that still eludes me, and I know the rule is that I goes before E except after C. If you're spelling the word receive, it's R-E-C E-I-V. But in words like friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You know how you remember friend? It's friend to the end.
The I never have a problem with that one.
You don't?
No.
Well, I just want to tell you something. I have a problem with the I before E. Almost, excuse me, almost universally.
I do sometimes as well, but not only on the little twister ones, but...
What are the twister ones?
Well, the ones where you actually have to reverse them.
The ones with the C.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're whipping along, and then I might make that mistake. But something like friend, I don't... Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem.
A friend of mine who called yesterday gave me that little rule because I was constantly misspelling friend. And he said, remember, it's just friend to the end and the E-N-D. But the reason I brought it up, and I had it written down a couple days ago, and then we got into some kind of political discussion. The reason I bring it up is, isn't it time, like, other things evolve over time? And I know if we had somebody on from Webster's, they might. But it's so universally misspelled or mistaken, why just not say, you know what, as of 2018, this, we're gonna make this, we're just gonna forget that. Just, you know what, I before E, E before I, throw in a couple E's if you want, make it two I's if you want, who cares?
Yeah, but you know, that would be a massive undertaking, because there's so many words like that. Like friend, why isn't it spelled F-R-E-N-D? Why, seriously, like, when they were putting the language together, why wouldn't friend be F-R-E-N-D?
Right? Why not?
I don't know. And so the thing is, if you went through the English language, it would be a massive undertaking. What about P's for F's and P-H's for F's and all that?
Yeah, we can't get to that.
Oh, okay. That's You're just talking I-N-E.
Yeah, here's why. Okay. That's because it's too much.
Okay.
Those are equally stupid. Mm-hmm. But today we're just tackling I before E. For instance, in the word peeved, it's double E. But if you say received, why isn't that double E? Why isn't R-E-C-E-E-V-E-D?
Well, you could pronounce it received, right?
You know what's interesting about this, too, depending on who you are and where you're at? A lot of that is done from visual recall, like received. That would just whip off my fingers because visually I can see the E after the C. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
It just feels.
Say it
right.
Again.
It's a visual recall thing. Those little twisty words like received, I would never have trouble with because as I'm typing it, I would see in my mind the E after the C because I've done it so many times.
Right. It's like your brain has its own autocorrect.
Yeah.
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 But then there's other words like criticize and criticism. Never get those right. Whenever I type them. Because there's C's instead of S's.
Right,
and like,
and
there's
the
a few.
Here.
Those are the words that drive me crazy. The Z, the S, the C's. You know, when they're all mixed up and you can't really figure out what they were thinking.
Do you ever do this with, and I don't know if it's an age thing, but now that we're talking about it, I recall on many occasions where, like, I'm not, sometimes I get bicycle, exercise, criticize, criticism.
Oh, I get those.
Those get a little bit jumbled in my brain, and what I start to do is I start to write them or type them and hope that I get enough of them right that it will fill in the rest of it.
Right.
But have you ever, like, you've sort of typed a bunch of letters and none of them add up to, you know, to criticism?
I just quickly Google it.
Yeah, I do that too.
But it's over the years, and I don't know how often I have to write criticize or criticism, but those are the ones that stick in my mind. Every time I get it wrong, and every time I have to go back and just sort of Google it, and oh, right, it's a C instead of an S or whatever the hell it is.
And if you think this discussion is too mundane, I before E except after C has its own Wikipedia page. I love that. Just while you were
who decided that?
Who decided what?
After C. Like, why?
I know. This is the point. Why can't we just be received? C-E-E-V-E-D. V-D. You said V-D.
Well, English is a bastard, you know. That's the thing. It's a mix of different languages.
Can I ask you a serious Chinese question?
Sure.
Without you, you know, going into one of your character pieces. And I don't know this about Spanish or French, the other two languages I'm mildly familiar with. But in Chinese or in Mandarin or... What's the other one?
You mean dialect?
There's Mandarin and there's...
Cantonese.
Yes. Are there...
Chinese?
Pardon me?
What about Chinese?
There is no language Chinese.
Isn't there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's why I was trying to come up with the Mandarin or...
I'm Hainanese.
Oh, so it all... It's all under one umbrella. Chinese.
Okay.
Chinese!
Right?
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So, it's all under the umbrella language Chinese.
Yes.
So, I wanted this to be a discussion amongst a group.
All right.
You nonsense merchants.
Oh, dear.
Are there exceptions, and I imagine there are, that are this, like, this base, like, in some words, the picnic table comes before the umbrella, comes before the banyan tree or whatever?
Well, Chinese isn't an abugida, which means you can't spell out Chinese. Like, you have to remember each word. But the thing is, we have pronunciation.
What's abugida mean?
That's any language that has an alphabet that needs to be spelt like that. Yeah.
Abugida.
Yeah, that's a...
That sounds sexy. Hey, you got a nice abugida.
Abu.
So, anyway, are there exceptions?
There are pronunciation rules, though. So, in other words, you know, you'll have trouble pronouncing something, and sometimes, you know, it's because of your accent, where you're from, how you speak it. It might wind up sounding like a completely different word to others. So one of the rules in Mandarin is... I can't even do it properly. Basically, it means 4 and 40 are different words, but they sound completely the same. For 4. 14.
So you're saying that now Fred and I can just walk around going... And people will think that we're speaking Mandarin.
Right. They're hearing you thinking, 4, 14, 40, 14. I'm going to get my lotto card now. I'm going to get my lottery ticket. But there's another rule that goes... what was it? Oh, yes. There are certain ways of pronouncing things, and sometimes you can call your mother marijuana.
Okay.
Ma, Phil.
Now, Pearl, what would she write in?
She writes in simplified Chinese, which I can't read.
Is that the picnic tables and everything?
Oh, no. They're picnic tables with only three legs.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Okay, but you said she writes in Chinese.
Yes.
And we just finished saying there is no Chinese.
But it's Chinese written as a language. So, in other words, we can read the same language, just differently.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so how does she write you love letters, then, if you can't read it?
She does it in English.
Oh, okay.
She can't spell receive.
Phil, I miss you.
In Jewish, it's chach before schwitz, except after puch, gefilte before chach. And sometimes, why? And sometimes, why? Why?
Why?
there had to be meetings one day about this, right? About the language when it all came together.
Oh, yeah.
Knife, knob, YKs, like... You'd love to go back to the day that was decided and just say, why?
Vikings.
Well, that's an interesting thing you bring up. The word knob, as in Knob Hill, is N-O-B.
K-N-O-B.
What do you mean, Knob Hill? It was K-N-O-B.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
But aren't there places known as Knob that do not have the K-N-O-B? This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're bastardized.
No, but it's a proper name.
Yeah, that's right. So you can do whatever you want.
That's that must be why. Because when you say Knob as a somebody's like a proper name, like a place of...
Like a doorknob. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because Knob Hill, isn't there Knob Hill Farms?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's with a K. But it's gone. K.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's an area of Scarborough known, called Knob Hill.
Right.
And that's with an N?
No, a K.
Why is the K in there?
I don't know.
Vikings. I keep saying this. Vikings, because English is a mix of Danish and German and all these other languages.
Right, all right.
So you can kill a cow, you can raise a cow, but you eat beef. A cow is a Viking word. Beef is French.
Whatever.
So that's why.
So they sat there and they said, okay, today's word, knob, to appease the Vikings, we're going to add a K.
Right, after they start raping the Britons and all that. That's basically what happened. Raping, pillaging, and that's the language.
The Vikings, they spelled pillaging with a K. Pillaging. Well, anyway, I didn't want this to devolve into an entire discussion of the English language, but I before E, let's do something about it. Let's shoot for 2020. Let's get everyone on board. Let's do these in small baby steps. Eventually, Knob will have no K in it. It's stupid.
Well, a lot of these kids nowadays anyway can't spell anything.
Nope.
That's true.
Forget I and E, and I'm serious.
No, I know.
It's frightening.
Your, theirs, they are.
Oh, they get those wrong all the time.
But my kids, I actually asked one of my kids this question recently. I said, do you, because I'm pretty.
You're very pretty.
I'm pretty. I'm very fastidious when it comes to texting and typing because, I don't know, I just grew up making, you're supposed to make sure all the words are spelled correctly. I don't know. That seems old-fashioned now.
Yes.
So I asked Spencer or Charlie, I can't remember, and I said, do you correct your texts to your friends? They said, no, absolutely not. Because they will try and... At least with me, although there's always bits of words that, you know, they're just being cute with, but to each other, I think, they just whatever comes out.
Plus, there's a texting language, so to speak, right?
Sure, shorthand.
Shortcut.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more Humble and Fred classic chat and fun on the Best of Humble and Fred. I'm full of Pong. First, a couple of very important announcements.
Let's talk a little bit about Spearhead Brew.
Well, Howie, I don't know where to start. Spearhead Brewing Company. Did I say Spearhead? Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston, Ontario. I'll tell you, they make some fine products, and they're proudly made in Ontario. Hawaiian style beer, you got to try that. The Hawaiian style pale ale. They have the Moroccan brown, delicious, and of course the signature Stan.
You okay?
Sam Roberts. The signature Sam Roberts Band Ale, which I shared with a few people over the weekend, and it was a smashing hit. Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston.
As well, our newest sponsor, you're probably asking yourself, now that I can buy marijuana legally, why not grow it at home? It is legal, and that's why homegrownkits.ca has a great entry-level kit. It's $199.95, 21-piece complete four-plant kit, and the yield somewhere just under a pound. You know, right now the government price for a gram is somewhere between $10 and $14. If you use homegrownkits.ca, your price, $1.90 to $2.50, depending on how much you get. But seriously, man, it's easy to use, and now you can do it yourself. Homegrownkits.ca. Homegrownkits.ca, 24/7, free growers, help service online. Okay.
This is Humble and Fred.
You're listening to the Best of Humble and Fred. I'm full of Pong. We're going through some fun segments from the past. So from the archives, let's hear about my dim sum date with Howard.
Hey, stop laughing like a hyena.
At nothing.
Hot this tiny. Is my girlfriend, Phil. So we go for dim sum.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Or as Fred called it this morning, hey, how was dip?
I got a million.
I had no idea. I know you do.
Got a million.
I had no idea I was working with a borscht belt comedian.
Hey, I call him Sheps. How's he dip?
So I've been going to this place. The weird thing about this story is I've been going to this dim sum restaurant for years. Started with Lou Skeezes, then I ended up going there with my kids. Then Randy once in a while would come, lady friend once in a while. And the guys that work there have seen me over the years. In fact, I was kidding with one of them because I knew him when he was a waiter, and now he's like a manager-level guy. I always bug him. Mm-hmm. We're having a nice time. Phil's talking to our wait staff in multiples of languages. You were in Mandarin and Cantonese.
Because that's the makeup of the staff there.
Mm-hmm. We have a pretty pleasant time, have our dim sum. At the end of the meal, I pay, and there's some conversation going on in a foreign language in front of both of us. Mm-hmm. And we get up and leave, and Phil says, oh, they just said I was a half woman, Phil. And I said, what? Now, at the beginning, forget that it has that this story is going to have a homosexual connotation.
No.
What I wanted to say, Fred, is in front of Phil, who they've already established can speak this language. And the waitresses that were talking about us in front of Phil, I don't care if it's a different culture, but I just thought, I said to Phil, that was kind of rude. Again, before I found out, it doesn't even matter. But
it'd be rude if this, it was spoken like
exactly.
This.
Exactly. The story isn't that it was they thought Phil and I were a couple. The story isn't until Phil's father cleared up what they might have been saying. They basically said, Phil's like a fat half woman in front of him. While we were paying.
Howard was putting the chip card in his chip machine, and he's paying his bill. And so there were two waitresses, I think they were pushing carts and the like. And so
they were just card pushers.
They were discussing us as a table. And they're like, oh, yes, this is this tall guy. You know, if he was a woman, that'd be terrible because they'd have a kid that has two races.
I thought that was the phrase. If Phil was a woman.
Yes. Which is Cantonese.
So Phil thought they were saying.
Man.
They would have said, what about two races?
Like I thought they meant we would have had a biracial child if we were.
They were saying if Phil was a woman, we'd have a biracial child.
Yes.
Now on the way home, I was saying to Phil, I said that was kind of odd. Like I know it's a different culture, but whatever it was kind of rude. And Phil says it's not rude. It's just how they talk.
It's jocular conversation.
That's what I said. I said it's. I don't care what the circumstances are, whether it's done in your country or not. It's just rude. We've been sitting here. We're paying our bill, and while they pass the time while the machine is working, they're saying, "Oh, if these two were a couple, and Phil was a woman, they'd have biracial babies."
Like that's a bad thing.
But I found some clarification in that.
Before you get to the clarification, because to me the story was yes. until this morning, I was going to tell the story from this standpoint that. Even though it's a cultural thing, to me it was still bad manners.
How is that a cultural thing?
According to Phil.
It's just their background conversation, nothing to do with us per se.
It did have something to do with us, Phil, because it was about you and I.
They're not staring at us while they're not trying to talk to us about it, though.
This was going to be the point. Now, the gay aspect is almost beside the point, because it turns out what they were saying, or what Phil's father said they might have been saying, is that if we were a couple, something about... I don't even know.
So I mistranslated the phrase. Bunzai means half son. Well, if you directly translated it. And so I was talking to my dad. I was picking him up from the airport.
Wait a second. They called you a Bunzai?
Bunzai.
Or they thought that I was going to put my wiener in your Bunzai?
You pun my tight. And so, so my dad looks at me and goes,
like that one.
Philip, that doesn't mean half child, Phil. It means gay.
Okay. But realize this, Phil. That this would have been a story without that new translation. Mm-hmm. Because to me, it was just bad manners. Now, I didn't push it with Phil yesterday on the way home because why take a pleasant day and make it unpleasant? But here on the show, I'm willing to share this unpleasantness with you.
Well, you talk about anguish. I mean, that just irritates me, the whole thing, because here's the thing. You reverse those roles, two Asian people sitting there, or an Asian person and a black person, and two white waitresses, that would be front page news of the Star today.
I would agree.
Yeah, so it would be. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this awful restaurant in Mississauga. Listen to what was overheard. There's no excuse. Cultural, I don't give a who they are. Mm-hmm. I agree with Howard. It's just ignorant. Mm-hmm.
And now, the fact that it was translated
perhaps incorrectly to that. Phil and I were a couple, and I said, I don't even care about that. I said to Phil this morning, I said, I'm just flattered that someone thought that I was good-looking enough to wheel a hot piece of ass like Phil.
Maybe come on.
That's right. I was like,
juice.
I thought, hey, I'm, you know, if they think I'm stature.
Oh, you try to eat that dumpling.
But I knew you'd, I knew, Fred, you would side with me because it was just so weird, especially given the fact that I've been going to that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
For 15 years, minimum, maybe 20. And I've been going there. That's why I'm saying I go in there enough that the guys that work there that were serving us, the I don't know what they're called. They're not waiters. They're sort of a bunch of managers, maitre d's. They've all seen me there. So whether that doesn't, I don't even care if the waitresses thought Phil and I were a couple. The idea that they would have that conversation in a language they knew that Phil may have understood because they've been talking to Phil. Mm-hmm. It was quite, you know, it's, we, you know how we love hearing Phil speak his crazy talk, his language.
Phil talks crazy talk.
So I love the fact that Phil could converse with these people with the cards because it was great. I was like, could you ask them about this?
And
Phil would interpret.
Uh-huh.
So after all of that, one of the waitresses had spoken to you, was saying that about us. Forget the gay part. They were saying if Phil were a woman, they would have biracial children. Excuse me? What? And as you said, if that was a couple of white waitresses having that conversation, we'd be in the Star this morning.
Oh, without a doubt. But, you know, that doesn't surprise me, too, because something within our multicultural, diverse society here in Toronto, and we all try to get along, just under the surface, there's this thing about interracial that's an issue, I think, more outside the white community than within it. I honestly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think white people have their head around more around interracial relationships than a lot. Because I'll tell you, in Brampton, over the years, tons of situations have popped up where people I know, it's like that kid, that Indian kid, better marry another Indian kid. Like the kid wouldn't even entertain the thought of bringing a white person home. But hey, that's culture. If white people do it, it's racism. It's just, and I know we have a lot to work through as a society, but that's just one of them. That's one of those things.
And the waiting staff can change, by the way.
Hold on a second. I just want to consider that, because that's, like, let's let that sink in. Sometimes, when profound things are said, one needs to consider it. Say that again, because I think you're onto something, that inside of culture.
Yes, to maintain the culture. People would prefer their children marry within a race or a culture.
But if you're white and you would prefer your children to marry white kids,
you're a racist.
Not a racist. Maybe that it's intolerant.
Well,
because I'll tell you, I'm the only one in my family that married a Jewish girl.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone in Randy's family married a Jewish girl. Not literally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was never a consideration for Lou and Luba.
Right.
I think only because, you know, my parents came from a very populated Jewish community to a very lowly populated. So I think pragmatically they went, well, what are the chances our boys are going to meet a Jewish woman like Phil?
Oi, kapot. Oi, kapot.
But, you know, the biracial comments aside, just the rudeness of it.
Mm.
Just the fact that they were having a conversation about us in front of us, where one of us could speak the language.
And they knew you could speak it.
Yeah, I had to order stuff from them.
I'm saying one of them had been speaking to Phil the entire time we were there.
So it's not like, so that makes it even more rude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, what are you talking about?
The thing is, they make these comments whether or not you speak the language or not. Like, I could walk into a restaurant right now.
Yeah, but you know that's rude.
Well, they would say, hey, fat guy, you feel like some more food? Because they would say that. They try to endear to you that way. I'm not saying it's appropriate, and I'm not saying it's acceptable in Canada, but this is just how they do things.
Wait a second, they would say, hey, fat guy, you want some food?
Yeah, Fei Zai.
It's pretty funny.
They called their governor in Hong Kong fat, too. So that's what I mean. It's just how they speak, and frankly, I just shook it off. I'm like,
no, I know, and you explained that to me in the car, and we didn't really dwell on it, because I was kind of like, well, that was odd.
They soured the room this time.
That's right. Somebody beside me, hey, whenever I'm in a place where somebody beside me sours the room, I just go, hey, this is great, I can relax.
It's just, it's another challenge for white people within this new world that we live in, because Phil tells us that And he said, that's just the way they do things. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it right. No. And it makes it hard to keep track of. Because in our culture, society, and there's lots of ignorant people within all cultures, you don't do that. So at what point do you have to say, okay, that's not rude. That's just the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if other cultures, like our culture, does something rude, it's not, well, that's just the way they do things. Yeah. It's they're intolerant racists. Like, it's just, that's why it's sometimes, it's just exhausting. You can't keep up with it.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
We've got more from the week. I'm Philip Hong. You're listening to the best of Humble and Fred on air and online. Now, back to the second hour of the best of Humble and Fred, powered by The Chambers Plan, FYI Music News, Gig Sky, The Retirement Sherpa, HomegrownKits.ca, Spearhead Brewing Company, Cannabis Career Network, and Strain Print.
Well, that's one way to lose.
The prospecting isn't over yet. The prospecting. What are we going to do? What about when you and I retire? Huh? Where's that party going to be? Who's going to put us? Who's going to throw us a party?
I don't want a party.
Who's going to put a notice out?
You have Nothing. To be noticed to get a notice.
Yeah, we're not getting any notice.
I mean, seriously.
I'll put something in the classifieds.
Yeah,
the
maybe.
Penny saver.
Have we talked about this? There's this guy we used to work with that is has pretty ambitious. His Facebook thing for 2018 for 2018 was to acknowledge all the people that he's worked with in radio that are great people.
Mm-hmm.
Have we mentioned this on the air?
I think so.
Well, anyway, it's very nice. And he every day for 365 days, he is going to acknowledge a great person in the radio industry.
Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is he's kept it up because often pledges like that when it's such a tall task, which it is, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it usually halfway through it falls by the wayside. And
yeah, weather gets nice.
Exactly.
But every day he writes this essay, and in half of the people that he's acknowledged, Fred and I are tagged in it because either they've worked with us and acknowledged us themselves, or he acknowledges that they worked with us. And that's acknowledgements.
Right.
But as I said to Fred the other day, I said, well, there's only 60 days left in the year. I can't wait for this to be over so that we know it. And we worked with this guy. We've told stories about him. Mm-hmm. I just think it'll be funny that we will then for sure know there are 365 people nicer than us in the business. Who are better people in the business than us.
That's fine.
365.
There's ins and outs. There's ups and downs. There's different styles of relationships. It's J.J. Johnson. It is Jim J.J. Johnson who's done this. And what I find fascinating, it is amazing when you're in radio and you're in management. I guess in any industry where you're in management and you're... Listen, when you're doing a morning show like we had all those years, you go in, you do your thing, you leave, right? Mm-hmm. You're in management. Your networking is just so huge. Just think about that, though. And all the different markets he worked in and everything. And every so often, a name will pop up that I just... Like, he did one on the weekend, and it ended up on my news feed because I had worked... My very first job at CKFH, I think he did middays. His name was Al Kingdon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to work at the classical station, whatever. But it was like you completely forget about these people. And Al was a great guy because I was right out of college. I get into CKFH. I'm very nervous just writing traffic reports.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of those guys. Hey, come over here, kid. You know, and sat me down, told me stories. Take it easy. What did I want to do in the business? Here's how to do it. He was a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you see comments from other people you worked with that you had forgotten about that remembered Al as well. So,
yeah.
It's from that standpoint, it's been pretty neat to follow that.
The fact that you remember someone that you've worked with for 365 days, that's a thing.
What are you smiling at? You know, is that not true?
No, I'm smiling because I think that's great.
Yeah.
I'm smiling also because I'm just looking at his feed now, and there are people I've never even heard of.
Oh no, I know, of course. Well, you don't know. I don't know all those people either. The thing is, I don't see it often because unless it's, you know how news feeds work.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Unless it's somebody that I have something to do with, I don't really see it.
Or you have to be so tagged in it.
So mm-hmm. the people I don't know, I really can't address because I would not even see those.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm saying.
He's either got a good mm-hmm. memory or nice notes, because 365 people, that's a lot of people mm-hmm. to remember.
Well, all I know is there's less than 60 days left in the year, and we ain't making the list.
Well, we didn't really work with him that long either, so we did it for a year at Chorus, and then I for about a year and a bit in Peterborough, and that didn't go well.
I was going to say, yeah, given the 2 years we worked with him.
Of no one's fault.
No.
Seriously.
No, these were different times. Yeah. That was... No. That was before you became super positive.
I was square peg and round Peterborough hole. That was the problem there.
And now 365 days of people I'm not so
sure
about.
You know what's amazing? Can we just take a page out of his book and acknowledge Humble and Fred one day?
What?
Acknowledge someone who is just so wonderful and does such great work for us. And I'm, of course, speaking of Phyllis Wendell Johnson.
I thought it was Sean.
Sean. Sean's amazing. Yeah, we should do Humble and Fred 365, and all we have is three people. Sean, Phil, and Amanda. And Bill, four people. And Doug, five people. Okay. Yeah. We could get it all done in a week.
Yeah.
We got five people we like.
But could you? Do you think you could, over 40 years of radio, come up with 365 people that you could say something about, have a comment on? But I think part of his process, he gets in touch with the people and gets them to write the meat of that, right?
No, oh, yeah.
And then he writes around it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't even know if I would.
Yeah, he interviews them, I think. I think he calls them up and they have a... Because I remember Sandra Plagakis's one, and it sounded like he had interviewed her, and she talked... It always seems like they're talking about their best memories.
Or he gets you to write up your best memories of radio and send them, and then again, whatever it is, he writes.
Well, we'll never
all
know.
That aside,
trust me, we'll never
all
know.
All that aside, in 40 years in this industry,
yes.
Do you think you could come up with 365 people that you could comfortably write about?
That's a great question. I don't think I could. I think I could come up with 365 names of people I worked with. I think.
I guess.
But I don't have a personal...
365 you worked with? Really?
Well, yeah. I worked at a lot of different radio stations. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, you're different. See, over 20 years I worked at CFN1. I just did mornings and went home. I didn't meet a lot of people. Like, you know, I knew some of the record reps, but as far as, you know, the agencies and the other managers...
Well, no, I'm just talking about in the old days, you know, yeah. I worked at... You know, in the first 4 years I was in the business, I worked at... five radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in those days, radio stations were populated by 25 to 35, 40 people.
Right. Yeah, I guess, you know, if you ever sat down, put pen to paper, as they say.
Right.
You might surprise yourself.
And then you think about, you know, you work with 30 or 35 people and there's a 10 or 15% turnover every year.
Right.
So there's a lot of people. You know, I used to think about that. I would become, you know, I'd worked in a bunch of different cities very quickly. And you think, oh, you know, that's weird. I'm never going to see that person mm-hmm. again because I moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Facebook started. And now you see all those people that, you know, you were supposed to forget. All the people.
You know, and that's one of the upsides because there's a lot of people. Those, you know, for me, you know, those 1980s and through the 90s, those CFNY years were special to me. And I met so many wonderful people that I love,
mm-hmm.
almost like brothers and sisters, that Facebook... You know, Phil Evans, May Potts, you know, Ivor Hamilton, these people that you haven't lost touch with, that otherwise you would have. You know?
Absolutely.
I could be sitting here going, well, May's different because works here at Boom, but mm-hmm. somebody like Phil Evans or Ivor, like, without that, they just totally would be gone from
disappear.
Your life. Yeah.
Somebody got in touch with me, and this...
And I think this is relatable because I think anybody in any industry can relate to this.
How many discovering
people?
Friends.
How many people have you met over your career?
Mm-hmm. If you worked at Stelco for 40 years, mm-hmm. you think about all the people you would have met. Could you come up with 365?
Right.
That you could stand,
mm-hmm. or had warm feelings about.
Yes,
I got a weird email from somebody that I who thought they worked with me at CKLG in Vancouver in 1980, mm-hmm. and in fact said we were roommates. And I knew, I know
that's was pretty weird close.
Well, I know, and the thing is, I know when I moved to Vancouver, I lived on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, from a small town, so I lived far away from the downtown mm-hmm. core. And as I got more comfortable being in a city, I moved into the city, and then I had a roommate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this person went back and forth, hey, Humble, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, okay, sure. And I sort of went along with it. Because I don't know, maybe I did have a roommate. And then he said, I moved to Vancouver in 1985. I went, dude, well, you had some other roommate, because I left there in 1983, so...
How can that be?
I know.
That he thought you were his roommate.
Which, but it's better that I went along with it for a couple emails.
Maybe it was Larry David.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was.
Maybe it was Larry David.
Yeah, he was in Vancouver.
But the best thing is, what kind of liar am I that I went, yeah, that was those were great times.
Yeah, we had great chats.
Yeah, they were great times. Can we end this now?
Yeah. They were great times. Hope you're well. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't want to get into it. Maybe I thought for a second maybe we were roommates.
Well, I mentioned that Al Kingdon guy,
mm-hmm.
and I actually put a note on because I really thought a lot of Al. And then I'm reading, and then there's this other, his name's Danny Miller, not that it matters to anybody, but it was a funny, he was one of my first radio friends ever, where I went to the radio station, and he was around my age, we became buds, and had beers together, and did stuff around the radio station together. I'm telling you, Howard, that guy has not been in my brain for probably 37, 38 years.
Who's that, Al?
No, this... Danny Miller.
Oh,
guy.
Danny Miller. Right. Okay.
I'll tell you, he hasn't even crossed my brain, my memory. And then all of a sudden you see his name and you go, wow, I remember him. We had fun.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, it's like that guy in Vancouver when I remember him. Yeah. We were roommates.
Yeah. 2 years apart.
But it's not only it's bad enough he thought we were roommates, but it's worse that for two email exchanges, I went along with it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was. Sure.
There's more from the week on The Best of Humble and Fred. I'm Philip Pong. Thank you very much for listening to Humble and Fred on air and online. First, we have a couple of very important, quite cherished messages.
You know who is doing great work for folks is our friend, Tim Niblett, the retirement Sherpa. He's a fella that if you need some advice, if you're getting to the age where you're ass is gone and your legs are spindly, maybe you should think about retiring.
Yeah.
And if you do, Timmy's your man.
Yes, Tim Niblett. Professor Nibblesworth is a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. When Tim was here last week, very interesting. He discussed a lot of industry trends, like the average time of holding a stock in 1960 was 7 years. Today it's 1 year. Last 30 years average return 11%. The average investor 6%. A lot of mistakes are made along the way. People get impatient. All this type of information, Tim is a fountain of it, and he can help you. If you're looking for a new guy or you have some money, you want to sell the homestead and how to invest that money, Tim Niblett is the guy to talk to, retirementsherpa.ca, and I guess he'll be in again tomorrow, or we'll be in contact with Tim, and he'll enlighten us with more on how to prepare for your retirement.
Here's a note from an actual GigSky user. It says, my wife and I eloped to Ireland in June. And having the GigSky hotspot was invaluable. After our wedding, we flew to Amsterdam and then London. It fired up easily as soon as we landed in each country and was much needed as we had rented a car for our stay and needed directions from the airport to our hotel. And Jesse goes on to say basically just how incredibly convenient, how the data was used and able to check flights, hotels, listen to the radio, even watch some English Netflix while we were there. Not to mention, Rudra Rishi Maharaj from GigSky was always available with any questions, and had the customer service was excellent. An actual GigSky user, it ends simply, thanks GigSky. If you haven't figured out by now, and that's the way to go, well, I don't know what you're thinking about. Okay, stop thinking about what you're thinking about and get a Gig Sky hotspot. You can get, of course, what do you go?
Gig Sky Sim. Check out our website, humbleandfredradio.com. Click on Gig Sky. Get it for free.
What he said.
Yeah.
This is Humble and Fred.
Do you have some? Do you have an appointment? Do you have something to do?
No, not at all. Mm-mm. I'm going to the bank, but that's it. I've got all day to get to the bank. Howie, say hi to the tellers.
We really are semi-retired. Well, I got to do some banking today. I'm hoping to have supper with my daughter, Spencer.
Spencer.
Oh. Again, I go to the bank for business. I don't... Any of my personal banking, I don't do at the bank.
No.
But I like to physically take our deposits with the book and do it that way. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I don't need to. I can take pictures, whatever. Oh, anyway, yeah. I don't mind doing that. But my bank up there in Brampton, they're getting to know me now. It's, oh, hi, Mr. Patterson. Now to, hi, Fred, how are you? Not bad. How are you?
Oh,
what's
nice.
New? Well, I spent an hour with my prostate the other day in the bank telling all the tellers what I'd been through.
Gather around, everybody.
Gather around.
Let me tell you a tale of terp.
Let this be a lesson to you.
Those of you with prostates.
Yeah.
Do you ever... I was in a bank for some reason a month or so ago. Something went wrong with the deposit, because now you can just deposit your checks. You don't have to.
Right, it recognizes.
You don't have to put them in an envelope.
Yeah.
But because of the way you write, and I'm no better, your handwriting is almost
they all come back.
They all come back. I'm always entering them manually.
You have to verify them.
And the other day, whenever it was, a month or so ago, the machine was down. I went into the branch. Mm-hmm. And then they had out like... some coffee and cake.
Mm-hmm. Mine has popcorn.
Do they really?
Popcorn. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought, I don't know. I'm not... Who's that for? Who's the coffee and cake for?
Well, the same guy all those Halloween treats were for the other day. You didn't seem to hesitate to attack that table.
What table?
No, the Halloween candy
in Hamilton,
table.
At Hamilton.
Yeah. You're equating a warm radio station get-together with candy to walking into a bank. Where they
so you actually hesitated in the bank helping yourself to a biscuit and coffee?
But it was that kind of weird cake, you know. You're not really sure what kind of cake it is. It's just a slab of kind of some dark brown mess.
All right.
You know that cake?
Yeah, even the coffee. I don't know how I feel about taking that
bank coffee.
All right.
I don't want your bad bank coffee and your cake of unknown origins.
Well, you're paying for it anyways.
So now a nice gesture on their part is turning into some kind of evil thing.
It's a nice coffee.
That's what you...
Let's have cake and coffee. Why would you do that? You lousy cake.
That's not what I said.
And your lousy coffee.
Right, that's cake.
All right, just calm down.
What's the matter?
Your lousy coffee, your stupid brown cake. It was one of those cakes where you're not really sure, is it? Some kind of
fudge, chocolate.
No, it was just brown.
Just walk up to
is
the
it some kind of what?
Both carrot your hands cake, full.
I don't know what it is.
Is it banana? Some kind of what?
Some kind of cake. Honey cake.
Honey
one
cake.
One of those dumb
honey cake.
Bunt
honey
cake.
Bunt. What is a bunt? I never knew. My mother always used to have that. Oh, it's bunt cake.
Isn't that the round one with the hole in the middle?
Yeah, it's the mold, right? You have the little grooves on it.
Dahl makes a nice like a walnut sort of neat bundt cake.
Well, I'm sure she does.
Mm-hmm.
But this bank cake is no Budol cake.
It's store-bought for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And there's probably a Tim Hortons right beside the bank, too.
Probably.
Every other bank.
Hmm. All this talk about America. I know I said that I might go to America anymore. Except for golf and when it's cold here. But I'm going to be going there quite a bit. Starting in a couple weeks, because Charlie, Michelle Glassman, my eldest daughter, who is, if you're a Hundy P, you've heard us talk about Charlie, and if you're a Humble and Fred fan, you know Charlie's been, you know, on the show since she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
24 years of Charlie on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie is moving to New York City. Did you know that, Sean?
I heard about this. Congratulations.
Oh,
good for her.
It's great. It's fantastic. It's just great. And she got a job at a big agency there on Park Avenue. A little bugger. A little, mm-hmm. you know what. And her and her work partner will be moving. I think they're scheduled to leave next Thursday.
Ooh.
And I'll be going down with them for the weekend while mm-hmm. they get settled. And
are you going to drive down or fly down?
No.
I'm going to fly down. Because the people that are hiring them gave them an allowance for their move, and they don't really have much to move. They're going to find a furnished sort of Airbnb for the first couple of weeks till they find an apartment. And then they don't really have. They're just going to kind of bring down their clothes and a couple smaller items. And, you know, when you're 20, I mean, it's different for you and I. You know, when I moved from Oakville, it was years of junk that I threw out. You know, and when you're 24, you really, other than, I was over at her place on the weekend. She has, you know, a dresser, a bed, and some clothes. So it's not really worth moving all that down. Anyway, yeah, it was great. She's moving away. And as I said, you know, she showed me on Saturday morning, we went for breakfast. And we're sitting in a restaurant on Queen Street. And I'm having a coffee. And she's showing me the email that her boss sent out announcing that she was leaving. And I couldn't get through it.
Oh.
No, I know. I'm such a big suck. It's ridiculous.
No, but it's your kid.
But you know, when you hear somebody... Yeah. Else's perspective on your own child. It was too much for me. She kept saying to me, she's funny, she's like, Daddy, are you going to be okay? I'm like, no! Daddy is not going to be okay. But I will, and I know it's going to be great. And I'm not the first person to have a child leave, but it's the first time it's happened to me. And like every other stage in my life with a child, you've kind of gone through it first, or my brother has as well. In terms of your kids moving out... So Charlie moved away from home 6 years ago, and when I dropped her off at university, like, I was a blubbering mess. I just remember the drive home from Ryerson, and I was like, you know, how am I going to handle this? Because I was just so used to having her around all the time.
It was only Ryerson.
No!
Just down the street.
I know. My brother Steven, who's, you know, Steve has been on the show a bunch of times, his daughter moved to New Zealand.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, that's what I... And so she moved to New Zealand, and I asked him, when I told him Charlie was leaving, I said, what'd you guys do? And he said, well, every Sunday or Saturday or Sunday, we just would FaceTime or Skype one another, and that was kind of like our weekly visit. And I know we'll do that. And I, in reality, I don't see Charlie... Maybe once a week, once every 10 days. You know, she's a grown woman. She doesn't... I mean, I check in with her every so often, but there are lots of days and days where I don't... And I thought about that this weekend, where I don't know where she is. I'm assuming she's safe and well because she's a grown-up, a grown-ish person, and she can take care of herself mostly, but I don't really... I already don't have access to her every day, so it's not going to be that different. The biggest difference, obviously, is that... Once every couple of months, I'm going to have to go to New York, which is, you know, okay.
Yeah, I can think of worse things.
Yeah.
And it's only New York. I mean, geez, we get off on a Thursday at 10. You could get in the car at 10 and be there by 7 or 8 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Or in the evening, I mean. So it's like...
I've never driven there. Have you?
It's about 9 hours, isn't it?
Have you ever done it
around there?
Close.
Yeah, I've never done it. Maybe I'll do that once in a while just to... But it's so cheap to fly on a... And I've checked...
On where?
On all Porter? The airlines. Porter. Air Canada. You know, for a couple $100.
Yeah.
Like, my car in gas would take a couple $100 to get there and back. Easily.
No, you're right. And once you're there, you don't have to pay those ridiculous accommodations because you can stay with her.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not...
Yeah, I let her know that. I said... I want to... be able to come visit you. I said, but I need to stay with you guys because to stay in New York for 3 nights, every time I came down, it's like $1,000.
Oh, yes.
And I said, I won't be able to afford it. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that it was very, very nice, and she gave her notice last week.
Well, where is it?
Where's what?
The email.
Oh, it's here.
Well, you don't have to.
No, I won't. Just to let you know, like, it was pretty sweet, and she said some really nice things. They said some nice things about Charlie, and anyway.
See, that's a ringing endorsement, though, because everybody thinks their kid is great, right?
Absolutely, yes.
It's just when unsolicited, independent...
Third-party people.
Third-party comments are what really hit home.
Because
those people don't have to say anything. They can just say, oh, thank you very much, and that's the end of it. When they go out of their way to praise your kid, it's like, you know, hey, I've done a pretty good job. And I know that's very important.
Well, you know, that is the point, is that you get some... Well, it's an endorsement of, you know, the way you brought them up. And it's weird, because I just checked now, and JJ included her in his 365.
Today we
acknowledge the daughter... of a person that will not be on this list. Anyway, I'm going to see her. I woke up this morning, and the first thing I see is a text from my ex-wife.
We're having dinner on Wednesday and on Monday for Charlie. We're having two going away
So you're
dinners.
Going this Thursday? This coming Thursday?
A week from Thursday.
Oh, a week from Thursday. Okay.
I'm just going to find out because they have to do their immigration interview as they leave the country.
Right.
So they have all the paperwork.
So they need like a visa interview or it's a green card.
They go, no, it's not a green card they're getting. They're getting a certain type of work visa.
NAFTA visa, probably.
So they're going to go down. I'm going to probably go down later because they're going to be in the airport all day.
Well, you may find yourself turning over in bed. And you may find yourself beside Humble and Fred. And you may ask yourself, my God, how did they get here?
This edition of the Best of Humble and Fred is powered by FYI Music News, the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, HomegrownKits.ca, and Cannabis Career Network.